Hebrews chapter number 2. I want to share with you 2 points tonight, and I'll be brief with it. I want to share with you 2 things tonight about the Word of God, about our salvation tonight. This morning we talked about that we must beware. We must beware, number one, of, and of course you know as I do, false paths that we get on from time to time. If we're not careful, we'll get on a false path and think we're going in the right direction and realize we need to go a different way. Then of course we come back with false prophets or false teachers that would teach not thus saith the Word of God. Then false professions. Profess to be a Christian, profess to be saved, but live in a different way. And tonight what I want to come back is, and I believe that if a person would get a hold of the great salvation that we have in our life and what we've been saved from and what God's done tonight, it would change a lot that we do in the life that we live. But tonight I want to talk about neglecting such a great a salvation. The Bible says don't neglect such great a salvation tonight. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 1, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Neglecting so great a salvation. The Bible says, therefore we ought to give, Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard this morning, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. Our Father and our God, as we bow in Your presence tonight, Father, it is good to be in Your house. Father, I love You and I thank You for this night. I thank You for these believers that's gathered tonight, Father God, to lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight that we just realize so much tonight what great a salvation that we have, what You've saved us from, what You've delivered us from, and Father God, what it costs You to do that in our life. Father, I thank You for this night. I thank You for the very many blessings of life. Lord, I thank You for the Harvest Sunday that we've had this morning. Lord God, I know that came from You, and I thank You for that. Lord, I thank You for everything that You do inside these four walls. I thank You for everything You do outside these four walls, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that as we study Your Word tonight, Father, that we just have a better understanding when we leave this place. I love You and I thank You. I thank You for Calvary. I thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ. Have Your will and way in this service tonight, and we'll be careful to give You all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight, neglecting such a great a salvation. As we come tonight, we see that in verse number 3, the Word of God, it not only does it give us a warning tonight, but it says that we must not neglect such a great a salvation that we have tonight. Would you say tonight that your salvation is great? Man, I'd say my salvation is great tonight. I'd say the greatest thing that I have in my life is my salvation tonight. That's the greatest thing that I have tonight is my salvation. And I need to cherish that. I need to embrace that. I need to love what God has done in my life and what He continues to do in my life. But what makes salvation so great tonight? There are several things, and I could go around this room tonight and I could ask you what makes salvation great in your life and to make you right where you need to be and say, Lord, I just love You. And I thank You tonight. But I want to share with you 2 things tonight that make salvation so great in a person's life tonight and in a believer's life tonight. I know why I love the Lord is because He met my greatest need. When I couldn't meet it, He met it. You know, tonight, that just does something for me tonight to know that He met my greatest need. But tonight, I want to share with you 2 things what makes salvation so great. Number one tonight, and I want to share this with you tonight. Number one, this cause is great because of its preparation. Because God prepared it for you and I tonight. Have you ever thought about how somebody prepares something and how they take it and they prepare it and they make it so great? Have you ever went and ate something that you really liked and you wanted the recipe and when you got it, you was like, there's a lot of work goes into that. There's a lot of work goes into that and it takes a lot to do that. You know what? It took a lot for what God did to save our soul and to save us from a devil's hell. But I want to share with you tonight, it was great because of its preparation and how He prepared it. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter tonight. chapter number 1 tonight and verse number 20. I want to show you this tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 20 tonight. And I want to show with you tonight how great it is because of its preparation. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 20 tonight. It's great because of its preparation, because God planned it. God planned salvation out in the heavens. I want you to get this tonight. God planned it in eternity past. And that's how great it is tonight that we must not neglect that salvation. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 20. God planned it in eternity past. The Bible says tonight that we must not neglect it, because who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in the last times for you. Hey, tonight, can I say to you that He planned it in eternity past. He planned your salvation and He planned mine. Does that mean that all men, all women, all boys and girls will be saved? Why, of course not. Hey, but they have the plan. God planned it and they have the opportunity. I believe tonight that the Word of God teaches us that every person will have an opportunity to be born again. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hey, tonight I want you to know, when the Lord comes to that person, He planned it in eternity past. What a miracle that is, that He thought about you and I in eternity past. Amen? He took care of it on the cross of Calvary. Number one tonight, it's great because of His preparation, that God planned it, but number two, that Jesus purchased it. Hey, God planned it, but Jesus, He had to purchase it on the cross of Calvary. We just sung a song. The next time He comes, there won't be no Calvary. The next time He comes, He won't have to die for me. Why? Because He's done that. His death on the cross, I want you to know, is the greatest preparation that ever has been. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 3. It's God planned it, that preparation, but Jesus purchased it at Calvary when He went to Calvary and died for my sins, and He died for your sins tonight. I want you to get this. And not only did God plan it, but Jesus purchased it. It's one thing to plan something out and get prepared for it, but when you go to purchase it and you go to pay for it, have you ever had something and you wanted it so bad and you planned for it and you planned for it, and when you went to buy it, you didn't have enough to buy it? Ain't you glad tonight when we go to God and we want to be saved, it's already been purchased. We don't owe nothing for it. All we have to do is receive it by faith tonight. We receive it by faith tonight, and we accept that salvation and that plan tonight. Look what the Bible says. Let's go to verse number 1 in 1 Corinthians 15. And I believe this is our go-to verse 2 that the kids learn. He says tonight, it's great because of its preparation, because God planned it, but because Jesus purchased it at Calvary. Paul said here to the church at Corinth here, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." What is the gospel tonight? The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand." We stand on that gospel tonight. We stand on the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And tonight it's because of that preparation that He did on the cross. When Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," He was preparing it for you and I when He hung on that old rugged cross and He said, "It is finished." Friends, I want you to know at that moment, hey, I want you, oh, glory to God, hey, sin was took care of, amen? When He died on that cross at Calvary, sin was took care of, and all we have to do is put our faith in Jesus Christ. He says, "And wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." What are we saved by? By the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That death, that burial, and that resurrection. "By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." That's that false path, that false profession. Unless you believed in vain. It's hard to believe in something that you don't see, ain't it? It's hard to believe in something that you can't see. But I got good news tonight. Jesus Christ is alive and well. Amen? Jesus is alive and well. "Unless you have believed in vain," here's verse number 3, "for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." You can't deliver the gospel if you've never received it. If you've not, you know why a lot of Christian folks don't share the gospel? They've never received it. "Well, I don't know what to say. I'm afraid I get stumped up. I'm afraid." If He's living inside of you, just let Him speak. If he's living inside of you, just let him speak. Paul said, I'm going to give you what I received. What I've got, I'm going to give to you. I can't give you something that I ain't got. I can't give you hope if I don't have no hope. I can't give you peace, Brother JD, if I don't have that peace of God. I can't give you rest if I don't have that rest. I can't give you what if I don't have what the Bible says. He says it's great because it's preparation. God planned it, but Jesus purchased it. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Nothing else did, but Christ died for our sins. I know I stay on this a lot, but I want you to know that in the world we live on, we need to stick on the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And we know these Scriptures are infallible and they're inerrant tonight. There's no error in them tonight. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what He did. He planned it in eternity past. Jesus purchased it at Calvary, but I want you to get this. The Holy Spirit, here is His job. Here is the Holy Spirit's job. God planned salvation. Jesus purchases. Now, how do we get it? How do we get it tonight? How do we get it and not neglect such a greater salvation? How do we get it and not neglect it? How do we get it and lose fire? How do we get it and not go? How do we get it and not share? Friends, tonight, if you got something good, you're going to share it. Amen? But if you got something good, you're going to share what is good. You're going to share that good news, that gospel tonight. And we don't want to neglect that tonight. No, not neglect what He's done in our life. He's done something so great. Because here it is. God planned it. Jesus purchased it. But the Holy Spirit will present it at the time of conversion. He presents it to you. Have you ever thought about that in your life? How He presents that gospel to you so clearly? How He presents it. You may have heard it all your life. Then one day you're sitting in the service and it just clicks. Let me show you this. If you'll turn with me to John chapter number 16 and verse number 7 and verse number 8 tonight. John chapter number 16. Not neglect such a great a salvation. How great that salvation is. If you got saved and He saved you from something great, you know it. Amen? You know the price tag that was on you. Man, whew. He says tonight that it's great because of it's perhaps prepared tonight. How it's prepared. At lunch today, we was eating ribs. Man, they was good. You hear me? Finger licking good. And my wife poured out a bag of French fries from Great Value. And she said, do you want these French fries? And then she poured up a big old bag of taters. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about taters. I got an old school wife. I don't have a new school. I got an old school. She said, I can take this tater right here if you want me to, and I can cut that thing up and we can deep fry it. What do you think? I said, well, baby, I'll just take them old ones out of the freezer because it's going to take so much time for you to prepare that, and it's going to take so much time for you to put the work into it and take care. She said, it won't take long at all. I said, go for it then. Had to wait a little longer. Had to put a little bit more work into it. But can I say to you, the payday was out of this world. Man, you lay them taters up there, that frozen fry ain't nothing like that fresh fry. I believe in the world that we live in, a lot of people's got cold Christianity instead of hot Christianity. And what they got in their life, and they don't know how to get through the life we live in, they're living as a cold, callous Christian. And what they need is to get on fire and get filled with the Holy Ghost and let God move through their life in a mighty way. When you understand He planned it for you over 2,000 years ago, it was purchased for you, and then He's going to present it to you, and He cares about me enough to present it to me that I understand it, it blows my mind. It blows my mind that He thinks about me like that. The God of creation, the God of glory, thinks of me that much. That He would present that gospel, that He'd present the death, burial, and resurrection in a way that I can understand it. And He does it by the Holy Ghost. And He is your greatest friend. But He's the greatest friend you've got that gets neglected more than anybody. You ever neglected one of your greatest friends, one of your best friends, and when you get around them, man, you know you ain't treated them right? The Holy Ghost is the greatest friend you got, and do not neglect Him because you need Him. If I'm going to be able not to neglect my salvation, I cannot neglect that Holy Ghost. Let me show you this. John chapter number 16, verse number 7 and verse number 8. I love this tonight. And as man, when I first got saved and got into the Word of God, I just knew I was saved. That's all I knew. But as I'm growing in the Word, slowly, let me put that in there, slowly, I do not want to neglect what God's done in my life. He has done so much in my life. He has saved me from so much in my life, and I owe it all to Him. John 16 and verse number 7, the Bible says, this is Jesus written in red. This is what Jesus says. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Can I say to you, the Bible will never lie to you. Jesus will never lie to you. I'm telling y'all, Thursday, this morning, the message I preached Thursday, he eat me alive Thursday, Friday, and last night the ball game was on. Wasn't even caring much about the ball game. After it was over, wouldn't care much. I told Branson, I'm going out to my study. Come back in, said, what is wrong with you? I said, me and the Spirit, we just battling one another. Amen? And listen, you can override him. You can. You can override him, have your way, do your way, do your thing. You can do it. You can override him, do what you want to do. But you won't have no peace. You won't have no rest. I believe that, and I'm telling y'all this, because I've in my own life I know it. People that are truly born again, they're neglecting the Holy Ghost and what he's telling them to do. And when he gets pressing on them and they get to a place they know they're under suppression and they're suppressed down, you know what they do? They override him and do their own will, their own work, what they want to do. And then they're miserable in what they've chose to do. Instead of getting under the submission of the Holy Ghost and let him show you all things and teach you things. And tonight he says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go. It's urgent that I get out of here. That's what Jesus said. I've got to go. For if I go not away, the Comforter or the Holy Ghost will not come unto you. Jesus said, I've got to ascend to the Father. I've got to go that the Holy Ghost will come to you, that you can experience this. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He sends that Spirit to us. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. He said you're going to be able to understand what you need to understand when that Holy Ghost comes to your life. He says tonight, number one, it's great because of its preparation. God planned it, Jesus purchased it, and the Holy Spirit presents it to you. But the last thing tonight I want to share with you is not only because of its preparation, but it's great because of its price. That salvation is great. Your salvation, my salvation tonight, is great because of its price, the price that it took. I believe tonight, man, my heart's so heavy here lately. I believe tonight if we understood what it took to save us, we'd treat it so much better. We would. As a pastor tonight, if I really understood, and I always stay with what God's given me, if I stay with what it took to save my soul, I wouldn't drag it some of the places I drag it. I wouldn't say some of the things I say. I wouldn't treat people some of the ways that I treat them. I wouldn't do some of the things that I do. I would not neglect such a great salvation if I really realized what it took to save me. It takes more to be saved than just walk down here and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, come into my heart and save me, and get up and walk out and get baptized and go to heaven. That's the plan, but that's not the price. The plan is if you believe and repent, that's the plan, but it's not the price. You see, the price, once you get saved and you realize what kind of price it took to save your soul, you won't neglect it. You won't just want to live any old way. You want to try to live according to the Word of God. You won't want to neglect if you understood the price. If my little boy over here is fixing to be 8 months old, if they took a cat of nine tails and they beat him and spit in him and plucked his beard, done all these things to him and hung him on a cross, and for you and me, you know what? That's a price that it took. If you get that in your heart, you get that in your mind, and you let it get down to your soul, you'll treat your salvation so much better. So much better. The plan's easy. The plan is easy. Man, I want to preach this to people. The plan's easy. This boy don't cost you nothing to get saved, but it cost him everything. It cost him everything to get for you to be saved. And the price of it, the plan's simple, but the price cost. The plan's simple, but the price cost. Man, I'm just going to get on with it. I'm going to show this to you tonight. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter number 2. Oh, glory. Verse number 24 tonight. 1 Peter 2 and 24, the Bible says tonight, his price is great because he had to give his body to bear our sins. He had to give his body to bear our sins on the cross. He had to give his body. I mean, he had to give that body to bear our sins on the cross of Calvary. What a price that is. That's why I truly believe people walk down and they say they give their life to Jesus Christ and they get up and keep living any way they want to. They've not realized the price it took for them to be saved. The price is high, folks. The price is high. Look what he says tonight. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body. Past, present, and future, he bared our sins in his body. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. Naked for you and I. Naked. that we being dead to sins, Brother J.D., what we said this morning, we were dead to sins, should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. By the stripes he took, what a price it took for us to have salvation. He gave his body to bear our sins in 1 Peter 2:24. Turn me to Revelation 1:5. I want to show you this tonight. Not only did it took his body, but he had to give his blood. He had to give his blood to blot out my sin. What a price it took. That day on the fifth row back, Brother Brad, when I walked to the altar and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost was drawing me. I did not know the price it took to save me. I knew the plan. I heard it preached. I knew the plan, but I did not know the severe price that it took. Heard it, but did not know it until I fell in love with these scriptures. Well, I've always loved God. No, you didn't. He loved you first. He loved me first. I love him because he first loved me. And then when you get in love with that, he gave his body and he gave his blood. Look in Revelation 1:5 tonight. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. He's faithful, folks. He's faithful. He paid the price. He's faithful. There's people in this church. I heard Sister Denise say yes. Man, there's people in this church that's battled stuff and God's been faithful. And you may battle again, but he's still faithful. You listen to me tonight. No matter what, he's faithful to you. No matter what you, he's faithful. He's faithful. Sometimes he's sending Goliath just so he can slay them in our life. Amen? Something big comes. You don't know why it's coming. Don't question him. Just let him slay it and get it out of your life. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. He's faithful. And the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. That's that price. He loved us. And washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a price. What a price tonight. He took his body. He took his blood. But he gave his being. He gave exactly who he was. He took on humanity to die for you and to die for me. What a blessing that is, not to neglect such a great salvation. Turn with me to John 1:29, and we'll close with this. John 1:29. John 1:29. The next day, this is the beginning here of Jesus' ministry. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. He took his being, exactly who he was, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, he died on the cross to take away the sin of the world. Well, there's still sin. Yes, because we're sinners. That's what happens. That's what the sin nature is. But does that mean that he didn't pay the price for all? No, he paid the price for all sin. The price has done been made. It's done been paid. It's done been purchased on the cross of Calvary. It's up to you and I to accept that tonight. It's up for you and I to accept that in our life. Understand tonight that we have a greater salvation. It's great because of its preparation, but it's great because of its price tonight. He saved you and he saved me from a devil's hell. And tonight, I don't know about you, but that just, man, just does something for me to know the price that he paid for my life. That I don't have to live that life that I did live. I live free in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. What a blessing that is tonight. To know tonight that Jesus Christ paid that price over 2,000 years ago. And no matter what, no matter what this world goes through, no matter what goes on throughout, I want you to know tonight that when a person calls on the name of the Lord, when that Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin, they realize they're a sinner, and they present that gospel to that person. If that person repents and asks Jesus to come into his or her life, at that moment, that person can be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. It doesn't matter who they are, he's paid for the sin of the whole world. He said, now behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He take them away. He washed them away. He done away with them. And tonight, that's such a great thing in the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus tonight. I'll ask you a question tonight as we close in this before we gather around this room and pray. How great is your salvation to you tonight? How great is it tonight? Every one of us in this room tonight is in a fishbowl if you say you're born again. You're stuck right in that fishbowl, and everybody can watch how you swim, how you go, what you do, and they watch. And tonight, how I live my life for Christ Jesus determines how great my salvation is, that He has saved me, what He has washed me from, what He has cleansed me from, what He has done in my life. I don't deserve heaven. I deserve hell. But because of His love, His mercy, and His grace, heaven's going to be my home, not because of what I've done, but because I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and He's given me that eternal life in Christ Jesus. This morning, as we talked about the path that we get on in the path in life, you remember this tonight. If you don't remember nothing else, the Bible is true. The Bible is true. He's a faithful witness. He's faithful in what He's called you to do, and He's faithful in what He's going to do in your life. I promise you that tonight. He is faithful. He's always has been and always will be. He cannot lie. He cannot. He can't change and He can't lie. He stays the same and He stays true. Tonight, as a local body church tonight, as born-again believers tonight in this place, we must stay true to what God's called us to do and stay with that salvation. Just don't neglect it tonight. Don't do it. When you go to your workplace tomorrow, there's going to be things come against you. This week, there'll be things come against you. That's just the way it is. It come against me when I was lost, and it comes against me when I'm saved. It's going to come. It's going to rain on the just just like the unjust. It's going to rain. Sun's going to shine. Things are going to go on. But there's one thing to stay true in your life, and that's the salvation that you have. That's the salvation that you have. I got to go speak in Tupelo a couple weeks ago when I was speaking, and I got to telling them about something that I had that God had gave me brand spanking new. I said, what I've got is brand spanking new. And I said, man, it shines and it is beautiful. Ain't even got a blemish on it. I'm talking about it is just out of this world. You won't believe. And they started, you can see their faces. They just think about a new truck. You know what I'm saying? Or a new something. And I told them, I said, it's that baby boy. I got a baby boy, brand new, fixing to be 8 months old, baby boy. You see, I could have went out and bought me a new truck. Just like anybody in this room can. You ain't got to have money to buy nothing. Where we live, you ain't got to have money. You got to have it. He's got to have a Social Security card. Bad credit, you still get it. Good credit, you still get it. Either way, you're going to get it because they want to give it to you. Amen? And I told him that. And I said, I could have went out and bought a new truck. I could have went out and bought anything I wanted. But there's one thing that I couldn't buy that I wanted. There was one thing that I couldn't buy that me and Brandy wanted. We wanted another child. For years, we just wanted another child. Not selfish. Kaylee's fine. She's good. She ain't always, she's good. Hey, the stock she's come out of ain't a whole, hey, she's doing good for the stock she's come out of. But listen to me, we wanted, what I'm talking about, we wanted another child. And we prayed for that child. And we prayed that God would give us something. Give us a child, whatever, boy, girl, didn't matter. We prayed for that. That baby would not be here if it wouldn't be for the faithfulness of God. There's what I'm trying to tell you is don't neglect the great salvation, because there's things that He does in your life that you can't do. You got no control over. You could not. That could not have came if God would not allowed it. He would not have came if God would have not allowed it. I tell people all the time, the sobriety in my life over drugs would not come if He would not have allowed it. Pastoring this church would not have come if He would not have allowed it. You sitting on this pew tonight, I'd rather be here than at home tonight. You hear me? Why? Because He's done something so great in my life. He's done something so great. I want you this week, here's my challenge to you. Not what you can do, but what He can do. I want you to look around this week and see something that He's done in your life that by your power and your own will and your own might you could not have done. But because of His grace, His mercy, and His love, He did do. If all of it's in your hands and you can do it all, and everything you do and everything you've got, you make it work, you make it successful, you make it. Be careful, because you'll make Him right out of it. Does everybody understand me on that? And it won't be long. You'll think that your salvation and your righteousness and what you've done is just because of who you are and how good a person you are and how great you really are. But it's not. But it's not. And I got to say old me right there if I'm not careful. I've got to stay where God would have me to be and realize I am who I am today by the grace of God and nothing else. He has given you the greatest price there is. And all I want to do with it tonight is share it with the next person. Give it to the next person. So the next time you think about the time, or let me say, next time I think about the time I walked to the altar, gave my life to Jesus, got up and walked back out, the plan was easy. But the price was great. The price was great. Let us pray. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. Lord, we're fixing to gather around this building. You know it. And we're going to pray tonight, Father God, for this church and this church building, members inside of here that are sick, that needs help. Lord God, tonight I pray you just move in a mighty way. Father, I thank you tonight that we do not neglect such a great a salvation, but what you've done in our life. Father God, how you saved us and the price that it took. Oh, just how amazing that price is. And Lord, I pray tonight that we be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory in everything that we do. Lord, this week, I pray that you just show us your majesty in a great way. Father God, like you do every week, every day of our life, how you just show up and show out. Lord, I pray this week that if somebody's doubting or they got any fear or they got anything going on in their life, I pray you'd show up. Whatever they've been praying for, Father, that only you can cure, that only you can take care of, that only you can do. Lord, I'd ask you in the name of Jesus to do it. Because that's the God I serve. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. Let's gather.